the owner of a Belfast glassware factory destroyed in a fire earlier this month, is refusing to let his business go down. Tony Abate lost 99% of his stock when he was wiped out, when it was wiped out in the blaze at Belfast Crystal in the Kennedy Way Industrial Estate 3 weeks ago. But Tony's going to try to fight back, and he's with us this morning. Tony, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. If you don't mind, set out what happened, first of all. What type of business do you have, and what happened?
We have a company called Belfast Crystal, and we made the likes of crystal vases, bowls, glasses. We had a variety of customers who came to the factory itself. We supplied corporate awards to many companies, banks, clubs, rally companies, the whole cross-section of the community.
And how many staff did you have, Tony?
We had four staff, and my actual youngest daughter was thinking of coming into business too.
And what happened?
On the 1st of July, the police phoned the house and said there was an incident at the factory. And I says, okay, I'm on my way. And they said, well, don't be rushing down because you won't be allowed near the premises. And I thought it was a break-in. And I said, well, why not? What's the problem? He says, there's a fire. And I just fell to my knees. And I said, well, tell me how bad is it? And he says, it's really, really bad. And I just started crying. So we then came down to the industrial estate, and the fire brigade wouldn't let us anywhere near the premises whatsoever. And they said, really, it's just out of control. We need to make sure that they're safe before we can get anywhere near the premises.
So you're watching your
I could see
your business go up in smoke. You're watching your lifetimes.
I could see 40 years of smoke and flames just billowing away. And I just thought to myself, oh my God, what am I going to do? I just I was absolutely inconsolable, devastated. I wasn't even 100 yards from the place. I was 500 yards away, but the tears were absolutely tripping me. I hadn't even had my factory keys. And I said to my son, go and get my keys off my dad. Yeah, his keys, but please don't tell him what's going on, please, because at 83 years old, he had a wee minor heart attack there about 6-8 weeks ago. I said, this will kill him, please don't tell him.
It was your dad who had set up the business?
He set it up in, it'd been 40 years next year. Trone Crystal brought him to Northern Ireland in 75 to train glass blowers in Belfast for a company that started up then. And his family all thought, he must be mad moving to Northern Ireland through the Troubles. You're crazy. And he says, no, I'm going. And he fell in love with Belfast and Northern Ireland. He said, right, I'm going to stay. So that was nearly 40 years ago.
And when you did get access to your premises, presumably the next day, what did you see around you?
I thought, well, let's just say a few prayers that it's not really as bad as it is. But I obviously couldn't sleep, and I haven't slept since that. I got up, must have been about 4:45, and I says, right, I'll just go back down now and have a look. So when I came down, the police and the fire service were still here, and I looked in and I just burst into tears. I'm not ashamed to say it. The police officer says, it's okay. And I says, it's not. That's 40 years of my father's life, 32 years of my life gone in less than an hour. And I just didn't know what to do.
How did the fire start, Tony?
We're not honestly sure how it started just yet. It didn't start in the actual factory itself. It wasn't an electrical fault or something left on.
What I'm getting at is, was it deliberate? Did someone attack your premises?
That is, investigation is still ongoing by the police. They are trawling through CCTV RCCTV was on, but unfortunately the hard drive for it was in the premises itself, and that was destroyed. So they're going looking at CCTV from business around us, but it started outside. There's no feasible explanation how it could have really started on its own. So I'm hoping somewhere along the line they can come up with an answer for me, but maybe some good news or some news of some sort.
And Tony, you weren't insured?
Call me stupid. Call me idiot. I have tormented myself day in and day out. We were in such a safe place here now with the surrounding premises. We haven't had an incident or anybody hanging around in 15 years. We were so safe. Never ever in my life did I think something like this would happen. Never. Never. And I feel such a failure. I just feel I've let everybody down. I feel like I've let my father down, who's 83, who should be enjoying his retirement and enjoying his life. I've let my family down. I've let my children down. I feel such a fool, such a failure.
Come on, you're fighting back.
I am fighting back.
I know this is hard, but
It's every day, every night I go to bed, and I try to go to bed as late as possible so I can maybe sleep. And if I go to bed, maybe I fall asleep at 12 o'clock, but by 1:30, 2:30, I wake up, and that's me just toiling, turning over, tossing. What am I going to do? How am I going to support my family? How am I going to support my father? It's just been so difficult. I really try to put such a strong face on for my kids.
Well, look, what's it matter what I think? But let me tell you what I think. I admire people like you who are self-starters, who are businessmen, who are entrepreneurs in Northern Ireland. So I'm sure there are people like me listening to this today. And you say you can't sleep and you're sitting up late at night. But you know, you haven't been sitting on your backside all your life, Tony. You're trying to provide for your family.
Yes.
And you are a local entrepreneur. And anybody who gets up in the morning and goes out and tries to create and create employment, you've certainly got my admiration.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Not that matters. Who cares what I think? But that's what I think. How did your dad take the news when he did find out, and how did you break it to him?
Well, I said to my son, please don't tell him it. Let me just see what the situation is. I see how bad it is and whatever. So, unfortunately, about an hour later, he actually phoned me and said, one of my friends said to me to there's something on in Kennedy Way, or there's a fire. Go down and check, make sure everything's all right. And I said, I'm on my way now to have a look. Don't worry about it. I'll check it out and let you know. And then about an hour later, he phoned me up and started crying on the phone. And he said, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Somebody's told me it's a Belfast crystal. I can't believe it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I said, listen, just don't come down just yet. Just leave it for a day or two and let me appraise the situation and see what's happening and whatever. And although I came down at 4:45 on a Sunday morning, apparently he'd been down in the middle of the night. And the police officer said, yes, that was your father came in and he just broke down. He just cried and cried and cried. He was there for about half an hour and he just went home. And, oh dear, so hard telling the story. But he's accepted it now, and at 83 years old, he's down here 7:30 every morning washing glasses, trying to do something to keep himself occupied, because he just can't sit at the house thinking about it and worrying about it.
What's he washing?
Well, some of the stock that we've managed to save, it's dirty and it's blackened, so it takes an awful lot of elbow and hard graft just to clean one piece. So basically, that's what he's doing. And he's doing it day in and day out for the last 3 weeks.
So an 83-year-old man down there cleaning burnt glass?
Yes, yes. It's heartbreaking to watch him do it. And between his arthritis and as you get older, you get so many ailments, angina and heart and stuff, but he's down here every day. I said, listen, just go home. He says, how can I go home? How can I go home and think of you down here? How can I go home and think, if I'm down here, if I'm doing nothing, at least I'm helping, even if it's just clearing up cardboard or rubbish, or even if it's just talking to people, or even if it's just doing something, I need to be here to help.
How are you going to try to fight back? First of all, you set up a GoFundMe page, and members of the community helped you.
I've been fantastic. I've had local businesses help me out. I've had a couple of porta cabins supplied by North Space, and they've been fantastic. I've had a container for any stock that we've salvaged supplied by Baloo, so that's locked up and safe. I've had Croyd Electrical come in to give me power supply. I've had Sleven Plumbing in to give me running water again. I've had loads of people down helping me out, sorting through the stuff. My wife has been such tremendous support. She's the one that says, right, Tony, up you get. Come on, up. You have to do something today. You have to be proactive and try and get something achieved every single day.
Do you know why there's a smile on my face? And look, I know you're not even close to being through this, but I'll tell you why there's a smile on my face. When you talked about those local businesses there, and often in this programme we talk about a community being divided and how we don't talk to each other.
Uh-huh.
Listen to those businesses who rallied round you,
yes,
and helped you. That's a community coming together.
It is indeed, yes. Without them, I mean, their support's been fantastic. It's just been a slow, hard process, but... Yeah.
And I looked on your GoFundMe page, and there were people from all over Northern Ireland giving you money as well.
People from America donating. Doesn't matter if it's £10, £50, £1,000, £5, £2. It doesn't matter where it comes from. Every single donation is so much appreciated.
How are you going to fight back?
What are you doing now? What am I doing now? I'm sitting here thinking. What customer would have come in this time last year to order something? When I go home at night time, I start scrolling through all my emails to see who I can contact, who can I remind them to say that we are back open, that we haven't closed down.
Where are you trading from then?
Well, as I say, North Space had kindly provided us with a couple of porta cabins. So one of the porta cabins is... stocked out with some of the stock that we have. I'm hoping to maybe use some of the GoFundMe money to buy a small engraving equipment so I can get back into engraving again. We're just working out from the car park. All my machinery is gone. It's just so hard, it really is. But
so you're working from a car park?
Working from a car park, yes. But you have to start somewhere. When my father started 40 years ago, he did nothing. He had rented out a shed in a old farm, a pig farmer's farm, and that's where he started. He started with nothing. We've actually started with nothing too. But you know, it's just we're going to start back up again. We're going to try and. It'll be very, very hard. But we've been blessed with such a community. I mean. Some of our customers have been so appreciative. They've come in and they said, okay, you don't have a single box, but I just wrap it in a bit of tissue paper. We do work for Danske Bank, for even Linfield Football Club, Cliftonville Football Club. I mean, they've all been so supportive. Says, Tony, just do what you can for us. We know that times are difficult. Take your time. We want you to be here next year. We want you to help us. Do whatever you do for us. Just keep on going.
You do know that earlier in this interview you described yourself as a failure. You do know that you did that and you're anything but. because quite a few people would curl up in a ball and give up, and you're standing up, and you're fighting.
I'm fighting because I'm a father. I'm fighting because of my wife, who's every day saying, "Right, Tony, you have to get up and you have to do this." And through her, I mean, she's just been an inspiration. She says, "Right, see today, Tony, sort this out," and I sort it out. And she's given me the courage to go on and do things.
You've got to look after your mental health in a situation like this as well, Tony, because when you get a big blow, you know, you've got to look after yourself as well.
Yes, I know.
And you say you're not sleeping at night. You got to, just take it from me, you got to look after yourself.
I mean, it's still only 3 weeks since it all happened. I mean, if you lose a loved one, it takes years to get over it. But I'm just with the support of everybody, my kids, my wife, my father. My father says, "Yep, Mom, no, we have to do our best here. We have to look after whoever comes in and ask them to spread the word." We did St. George's Markets the last couple of weekends just to let people know. You know, Belfast Crystal, and everybody came over and said, "Oh, we're really sorry to hear what happened, and what can we do?" And I said, "Well, the best thing you can do is just tell your friends that, you know, they've back up and started again, and they're fighting for it."
Well, listen, there are some people calling us today, 030-30-80-55-55, Willie in Port Rush. Morning, Willie.
Good morning. Good morning.
Go ahead, Willie.
Good morning.
Listen, Tony, chin up, buddy. Your company has been very, very good in Northern Ireland for over 40 years.
Yes.
And I'm very proud to have one of your beautiful trophies.
Oh, thank you very much.
I am probably one of the last guys to get one of your trophies before your incident. It was the Spirit of Northern Ireland Award, and it's a beautiful trophy.
Oh, yes.
I'm just listening to you. I've got a lot of great Italian friends in Northern Ireland. Up around Port Stewart and Port Rush and Corrie, and the work ethic that your race is, or where you come from the Italian work ethic, is amazing. You'll be up on your feet again and running very, very soon, young man.
Thank you very much.
You're a credit to your company and your father.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your kind comments.
Not at all, Tony.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
How much is a trophy these days, Tony?
Oh, we cater for everybody. You can get something as for £20. You can get something for £100. This is a vast range. We had built up such a range of choice for people over the years. They could come in and they could choose lots of different things. And that phone call is really. I'm not going to say it cheered me up, but it's really, you know. The fact that he took the time to phone up and say, "Chin up, carry on," and this—that's really, 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 really inspired me.
Thank you for talking to us today. Good luck in the future. Anne wants to speak to you as well. Morning, Anne.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Anne. You want to speak to Tony?
Hello, Tony.
Morning. Hello, how are you?
Tony, I just heard the news a few weeks ago and my heart went out to you.
Thank you very much.
I live locally and live not too far up the road. So I rang in earlier there, not to speak to you, but it's nice to speak to you. To offer help very basically if you want. So I've left my number with the BBC. And it's to help wash up with your dad. Something basic. I might even be able to get somebody else on board. Okay.
Any help at all is appreciated from no matter what part of what you do. Any advice that you can give me?
Well, it would be very basic. No, it would be very basic, giving you a hand very practically and simply.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it would be a bit, you know, every little helps, as somebody else says. I'll say no more.
Believe me, it does. Yes, it does help. Yes.
So just with that man from Port Stewart, was it rang in, you and your wife and family, it'll be good, Tony.
Yes, thank you.
It'll probably be better than what it ever was before. You'll be rising from the ashes.
I know. Well, that's what our plan is to do. It says, okay, what has happened, it's happened. But no matter how hard it is, we just want to plug away. And with the help and advice and support from everybody that I know, we're just hoping that it'll be a slow process. But, you know,
the tortoise, you'll get there.
The worst thing was so hard on Monday morning, just then to my staff. I'm sorry.
Is there any help from the state and association in a situation like this? Obviously, some people are saying today, Tony, look, why weren't you insured? And we've dealt with that. You feel stupid for not getting insured,
yes,
right? So that's where that's at. But do any of the InvestNI type organisations help in a situation where, you know, you know how to do the business and you've got you've got lots of years of experience? Will they help you in any way?
I had been on with InvestNI within a couple of days just to see what type of help was out there. Is there anything that could be done for me? Was there any type of funding or whatever? So at the moment, really, I'm in a limbo where there's nothing. All that type of grant money is long gone, and there's a bit of maybe low cost loan funding maybe available, and but there's nothing out there to say, well, you know, here's X amount of money, yeah, go out and buy yourself new machinery and create those jobs again. That's not really on the play on the cards at the moment.
June and Banbridge, morning, June.
Good morning, Tony. I'm so sorry to hear about your business.
Really, but, thank you very much.
I have a wee granddaughter who shows goats, and me and our grandad have been looking for a wee goat trophy. And if you could do one for us or get us one, we would certainly buy it off you.
That would be so much, because it's people like you which is going to get Belfast Crystal up and going again, and showing your support and telling people we're still open. That's so important. So I really, really do appreciate that. Give me a wee ring afterwards.
The biggest story is she shows goats.
Yes.
I've never heard of showing goats in my life. She shows goats.
She shows wee goats. She does. And you
is,
know,
this some type of is this some type of country thing I don't know
yes,
about?
Yes. The Castle Wellen show, the Antrim show.
Why would you show a goat?
Oh, they're lovely. You want to see a wee goat? Wee goats are beautiful.
Goats are not lovely.
They are beautiful. Absolutely. We have a wee ewe bean, and she's gorgeous.
A goat?
Absolutely. A wee goat, wee long-eared goat. And I can tell you, every show she's went to, now, the wee girl Molly's only 6-year-old, and she shows them, takes them up, walks them around, and she's won first nearly every time, every show she's went to. But we would love a wee goat trophy. That's one thing we can't get, is a wee trophy we want to give her. This is her first year, and as I say, every show she has lifted a trophy. Or she hasn't lifted a trophy, she's lifted, you know, the rosette. So we would love to get her a wee goat trophy.
Thank you very much. That would really, really appreciate that. Thank you.
And how would I get you?
We'll pass the details on behind the scenes, June.
All right, and thanks a million.
Thanks,
and again,
morning.
I hope all goes well for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate your support. Thank
here's
you very
Brian
much.
And Ballinahinch. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. Good morning, Tony. Listen, I just really want to say that, you know, best luck with everything. I can identify with the fact that if you do something that, you know, a bit like yourself last week, Stephen, you know, you build yourself up from sort of working class roots, and then maybe you get a blip and you think, oh my God, I've let people down, and you feel guilty. But there's good people out there, you know, so I think you've already seen the people of Belfast and Northern Ireland rallying around you. So
yes, thank
hang
you.
On in there, buddy. And also, maybe at a more practical level, you know, I have a few mates and stuff. I was lucky to get the university in England, but they're all hitting 60 sort of this year and next. So anything at all in terms of, you know, sure they've enough single jumpers for the golf courses, whatever. So anything at all that Belfast oriented, you know, I'll keep in touch through the website.
Yes, do please. Thank you very much.
And I think that would be, you know, so practical support, but look after yourself. Stephen said earlier, mental health issues are important, and
yes,
the trust these days have great teams in place. So, you know, you're no good to yourself or your father if you're physically not well. So just hang on in there, and you know, make sure you take care of yourself.
What was the similar experience, Brian, you had?
No, just really the fact that you know, maybe some stupid decisions. You know, wasn't buying Ferrari cars or whatever, but you know, just maybe, you know, getting into sort of some financial debts and stuff, and then you know, you beat yourself up a bit, like Tony said, not having insurance. So it's that sort of thing that, you know, you think, oh my God, how can I be an intelligent person? Do something so daft.
I think where you've hit the nail on the head this morning, Brian, and you know, in completely different circumstances, I experienced something like this last week. And let me explain what I mean. And I don't know how to actually say it without sounding insincere, but I'm completely sincere about it. You see, when you talked about the working class community rallying round someone. It is extraordinary in Northern Ireland, the decency that there is from that working class community. And I think, Tony, you will experience it now that your story this morning is possibly going to be widely heard. I really think you've hit something on the head there, Brian. And I've no doubt that all communities, but particularly that working class community around which your business was centred in the Kennedy Way industrial estate, I'm sure they'll help you, Tony. I'm sure
they will. Yes, they will.
Is it Lewis or Louis next? Louis
McConnell, yeah.
Morning, Louis. Go ahead, Louis.
No, I'm not certain what you wanted me to talk about. I'm the welfare officer of the National Union of Journalists.
Well, you called us, didn't you?
I did indeed. I know what you want to know. What it is about the trophies. Oddly enough, about 3 months ago, I got Tony to make me two new trophies for the young journalists coming up at two universities in Northern Ireland. Fabulous trophies, which, oddly enough now, are collector's items because they are part of Tony's previous business. I would hope to think that we will be able to help him with his new business. He's still on the program there. I will talk to him, as I've talked to him in the past month, to keep going. That's what life is all about. It's about survival.
Indeed, I
And those are trophies that you got for this year, Louis, for young journalists.
They're for the new journalist issue of journalists at two universities in Northern Ireland.
Okay, and you got two of them, did you?
I have two of them sitting on the floor here beside me. Beautiful trophies. And when
are they going to be handed out?
At the end of the new year for young journalists at these two universities.
Well, look, since it's journalism, all right, yes, and obviously the NUJ, a fantastic union and things, Tony, why don't I pay for a couple of trophies for next year's young journalists for the NUJ? And if that would be all right with you, Louis, sure.
A good idea.
That's something I could do, and that means you can get an advance order, Tony.
Thank you very much. Really
not a problem. Not a problem.
Tell Tony I'll be in touch with him. I have a couple of other projects for him as well. And
brilliant.
We already, fortunately, have paid for these three trophies. But we will be glad to perpetuate this every year for new journalists coming along.
Okay.
Beautiful trophies.
Well, look, there's a sense, Tony, of the... of, I guess, people contacting
to
support you. So
thank you
for bringing your story to us. Good luck for the future, sir. And I'm sure that we'll be hearing a lot more about your business.
Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Not a problem.
Thank you for all the support from the community,
Pleasure.
My wife, my kids. Thank you so
Pleasure.
Much.
Thank all right. You. Tony, thank you.